Parents, is life insurance on your to-do list for the new year? Ladder provides life insurance for modern families with a streamlined online process that gives you an instant decision. Coverage can start today if you qualify. Forget about weeks of paperwork and meetings with traditional insurers. Who has time for that? Get a free quote and learn more at ladderlife.com/Meg. If you're like me, you use credit cards for everything. But did you know that the average person misses out on $300 worth of rewards every year simply because they're not using the right cards? A new app called Birch helps you get the most out of your cards and earn the rewards you deserve. Just connect your debit and credit cards securely, and Birch will actively track your rewards programs and show you how to use them the right way, even in real time, before you buy. It also analyzes your transactions and recognizes cards that will earn you more based on the way you spend. Download Birch, B-I-R-C-H, in the App Store and sign up for free today.
For 30-plus years, I've seen every type of child grow up.
Instead of giving me what I wanted, she gave me what I needed, which was truth.
Don't let emotions win. Let truth win.
Do your very best, and you should have a lot of fun while you do it. And the better you get at something, the more fun you're going to have at something.
You moms and dads are wired with everything you need to be a parent to a great kid.
Welcome to Parenting Great Kids. I'm your host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Friends, one of my favorite things about doing the Parenting Great Kids podcast is that I get to hear from so many of you who send me wonderful and tough parenting questions. On each episode, I try to answer at least one that you have sent me, and sometimes two, but I certainly never get to answer as many as I'd like. There are so many that I thought, how fun would it be to devote an entire episode every so often specifically to answering questions sent to me by you, the parents who are in the trenches day in and day out, doing your very best to be an awesome parent. So that's what we're doing today. This is the very first Ask Dr. Meg episode, and we're going to cover a host of topics. So hold on to your horses. This is going to be a lot of fun. And parents, remember, don't just download these episodes. Click subscribe. When you do that, you're joining my parenting revolution, and every new episode will automatically show up in your subscribe list. And we'd love for you to write us a review on iTunes and let us know what you think. Remember, friends, these podcasts are for you. Also, not only are we on iTunes, but the Parenting Great Kids podcast is also available in the Google Play Store and on Stitcher. So no matter where you get your podcasts, subscribe today. Don't miss a single episode. So parents, thanks for listening. Stay with us. My first question comes from Sandra. Dear Dr. Meeker, I just found out that my 18-year-old daughter has HPV, human papillomavirus. She went away to college and hooked up. She had a biopsy last Saturday. I tried to talk to her and so did my husband. I'm at my wit's end. I want her to get counseling, but she thinks I'm overreacting. My 40-year-old niece now has cervical cancer from a college experience. I thought I'd really done a good job teaching my daughter values, but I was not able to get through, I guess. I'm praying and letting her know I care about her life. I'll keep reaching out to her. Otherwise, I don't know what to do. It's scary. If you have any advice, I'll take it. Thanks so much. Sandra, I want to encourage you in a couple of things. First of all good mothers have adult children who do things that bring them pain. Your daughter is an adult. At 18, she's going to do what she wants. She's going to think on her own, and she's going to do many things that you may not agree with. But that doesn't mean that you're a bad mom. I'm sure you're a very good mother, but she's an adult now and you're not responsible for any of her behaviors. You know, this situation, I believe, allows us to understand God's heart better. After all, think about it. God is a perfect father, and look how many of his kids do bad stuff. So if that helps you in any way, encourage you that you probably are a really good mom with a daughter who's doing things that disappoint you, you're in really good company. You know, Sandra, our children are growing up in a culture that doesn't like them very much. It pulls them in a direction that teaches them that the most important thing about them is their sexuality. Everything in their world is hypersexualized. Our culture distorts a wonderful sexuality with messages that promiscuity is not only natural, it's good, it's healthy, it's cool, and it's to be practiced by everybody. And in a way, our culture teaches kids that promiscuity is sophisticated. The reality is it isn't. Sexuality is wonderful, but your daughter is learning the hard way that her sexuality is something that needs to be protected and cherished and cared for. First of all, simply because she has HPV does not necessarily mean that she's going to have cervical cancer. So that's number one. Many people get human papillomavirus who do not get cervical cancer. As a matter of fact, the majority of people who get HPV don't get cervical cancer. So take a big deep breath. It doesn't mean that she's going to be harmed for life. Many women get HPV and men have HPV who don't go on to have not only cervical cancer, but other types of cancers as well. Anal cancer, penile cancer, cancers of the throat. Second, your daughter's story isn't fully written. She's young and she's immature. She doesn't have fully developed frontal lobes in her brain. So she's still thinking like a child in many ways. Never give up on her. Continue to love her. Continue to pray for her. Let her know that you are grieved by the choices she's making and that you fear, very reasonably, for her emotional, physical, and her spiritual health. Don't shame her here. She made a mistake. Even if she doesn't want to admit it, she feels shamed. Nobody wants to go to a doctor and hear that they have a sexually transmitted infection. And many people in that shame feel defensive and say, oh, you're overreacting, when she knows darn well you're not overreacting. She hurts because of this. Unfortunately for her, she's living in a culture of peers and friends and even physicians who will say, ah, what's the big deal? It's HPV. Everybody gets HPV. Well, maybe so and maybe not. But remember, you don't want to add shame on top of her. It might help you if you read sections of my book, Your Kids at Risk. I detail the medical and emotional risks of sex in teenagers and young adults. And I encourage young college students in particular to read it. They need to know that they're dealing with fire if they go out and have sex with multiple partners, even with two or three. Chances are excellent if college students or young adults have sex with more than two or three people, they're going to end up with a sexually transmitted infection, period. That's just life. But nobody wants to talk about it. That's why I do. Don't be afraid and don't give up on your daughter. Parent her over the next years with love and strength. Don't be overbearing. Don't preach to her, but tell her, honey, you know as well as I that having sex with one or two or three guys out there doesn't feel good. It messes with your head. It messes with your heart. It messes with your feelings. And it also messes with your body. You don't want to spend the next 10 or 15 years going to obstetrician gynecologists and fearing the news that you've got something else. And if you continue on this path, that's what's going to happen to you. So don't shame her. Don't give up on her. But this is a very, very important issue. So thanks so much for writing. Friends, it seems like we can't get through a news cycle without hearing another tragic story about a victim of bullying. A child who's beat up, taunted online, or in worst case scenario, has even committed suicide because he can't take the pain anymore. Bullying is more than a problem. It's an epidemic that's taking a toll on an entire generation. Something that used to be limited to the schoolyard and cafeteria is now possible to do anywhere, anytime with technology and social media. Cyberbullying is now just as common, if not more so, than face-to-face bullying. And this digital age has affected our children psychologically in ways we're only now beginning to understand. Whether the bullying occurs in the school or online, parents often feel helpless in this realm. What can you do? How do you protect your child? How do you prevent him or her from being a victim of bullying or from becoming a bully? But as a strong believer in parents, I don't think you're helpless when it comes to bullying. To help you navigate this crucial subject, I've written a special ebook, Bullying, What Every Parent Can Do About It. In this ebook, I discuss topics such as bullying at school, cyberbullying, what you can do if your child is being bullied, and what you can do if your child is the bully. To get your copy of my bullying ebook for only $2.99, go to MegMeekerMD.com/bullying today. And when you use coupon code BULLYINGPODCAST, I'll give you an extra dollar off. Parents, bullying is an epidemic, but it isn't hopeless. Go to MegMeekerMD.com/bullying and get your ebook today. I have a wonderful follow-up question from a woman named Veronica, who is a pharmacist. And she says to me, "Dear Dr. Meeker, thank you so much for writing about HPV and Gardasil. I greatly appreciate it. I read your article on HPV vaccine and you raised some excellent points. I was hoping you would let your readers know that HPV vaccine not only protects against cervical cancer and penile cancer in older men, but also head and neck cancers. This important piece of information is not shared widely with my patients, and HPV causes a large percentage of head and neck cancers. My husband is an ear, nose, and throat physician, and he is a huge advocate of the HPV vaccine, especially in boys for this reason. His research is in this area. I'm a clinical pharmacist in a gynecology clinic and primary care clinic, and I counsel all of my patients on the risk of head and neck cancer with HPV. I was hoping if you get asked about HPV again, you could include information on head and neck cancers." Veronica, thank you so much for writing, and you're absolutely right. Because I answered Sandra's question before, I'm going to dovetail in answering your question. You're absolutely right. Parents need to know that there are approximately 150 strains, that's 150 strains of human papillomavirus. The most aggressive strains, HPV 16 and 18, cause most cervical and other cancers. In addition to that, HPV 16 also causes about 70% of throat cancers caused by HPV. So friends, when you're considering whether or not to immunize your children with Gardasil, remember HPV causes many other cancers besides cervical cancer in girls and penile cancer in boys. Over the past decade, the incidence of throat cancers has risen, and many don't know that head and neck cancers are caused not only by smoking and drinking alcohol, but also by being infected with HPV. Many in the medical field believe that this may be due to the rise in oral sex among kids who, quote, want to maintain their virginity and they don't want to get pregnant. And kids also believe that by having oral sex, they won't get a sexually transmitted infection. And we parents and physicians need to teach our kids that's not true. Any infection they can get through intercourse, they can get through oral sex. So it's very, very important as parents, when you're thinking about immunizing your kids, whether or not to immunize your kids with Gardasil, that you bear in mind there are more cancers at risk with HPV than just cervical cancer. There are now two types of HPV vaccine available. The original Gardasil protects against 4 strains of the virus, but now Gardasil 9 protects against 9 of those strains. Most importantly, parents need to understand that being protected against HPV 16 is the most troublesome strain. Now, I know that many parents feel strongly that they don't want their kids to get vaccinated because they either feel that it condones sexual activity. They feel that if they go and they take their young son or daughter who's pre-adolescent or as an adolescent and they let them have the Gardasil vaccination, that they're condoning sexual activity. And I understand this. But here's what every parent needs to understand, because I get a lot of questions about Gardasil. First, even if your son or daughter is a virgin when they marry, there's a possibility that the person they marry is not going to be a virgin. That means that your son or daughter stands a very good chance of getting HPV from his or her spouse, because HPV is ubiquitous. It's present in over 80% of the sexually active adult population. So the only situation in which your child will not get HPV is if he or she is a virgin and he or she marries a virgin. Then you don't have to worry about it. Secondly, the vaccines work ideally before an infection occurs. This means that your son or daughter develops immunity against these different strains of HPV before sexual intercourse. And this is very important. And this is going to be much more effective if they develop the immunity before sexual intercourse than after. Third, Getting the vaccine communicates to kids that sex is serious business. I do not believe that it's ethically or morally right for me as a pediatrician to give Gardasil to a patient who has control over whether or not they get HPV, i.e., you don't get HPV by just getting a cold like you do chickenpox. A patient, your son or daughter, is in charge of their sexual activity, unless, of course, they're assaulted. And so it's very important, I believe, as a pediatrician, for me to say to kids, look, if you choose at 13, 14, or 18 to go and be sexually active, you need to understand you are playing with fire, so much so that I now need to immunize you against getting a sexually transmitted infection, because the chances of you getting an infection are so great, I need now to give you the shot to help your body prevent getting cancer from that infection. So I talk very openly and candidly with kids about the vaccination and their risks of getting a sexually transmitted infection if they are sexually active. Getting the vaccine communicates to kids that sexual activity is very, very serious business. Fourth, many parents believe wrongly, because they read too much bad stuff on the internet, that the HPV vaccine causes physical harm, paralysis, comas, and this kind of stuff. Parents, parent out of wisdom and strength, not fear. If you want to know if any vaccine causes serious effects or reactions, go to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website, CDC website, and go on to a section called VAER, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting. And this will let you know what are the real risks to your child if he or she gets any type of vaccination. It's really important. There's so much bad information out there. Don't harm your child by withholding a vaccination because of somebody's story. And many people equate an incident as after a certain vaccine as being caused by the vaccination. You can't make life-threatening decisions about vaccinating or not vaccinating your child on bad information. So please don't do that. I fully recognize that giving HPV vaccine is a really emotionally charged issue. It is your decision as a parent, and you have every right to vaccinate or not vaccinate your child. But as I said, we're dealing with very serious illnesses here, very serious and life-threatening infections that cause different types of cancers, not just cervical and penile cancers or anal cancers, but also head and neck cancers. This is really important stuff. So you need to read about it, educate yourself, and make a well-informed decision, and talk to your physician about it. Well, those are pretty heavy-duty questions. So let's turn the corner here and go a little bit lighter, if we can. Mandy writes, do you believe in putting babies on feeding schedules? If so, at what age should you do this? Here's what I believe. When a baby is born and you bring baby home from the hospital, your baby must fit into the family structure. Life doesn't stop for everybody in the home to attend to baby's needs. Baby comes in and becomes part of a wonderful, dynamic family structure. And of course, the first couple months of life, you're going to need to alter what you do because of the needs of your baby. And this is very important to do. Babies are often up at night and they sleep all day, or maybe they sleep all night and they're up during the day. Some babies are up every hour, or in other babies will sleep for 6 hours and want to feed every 6 hours. So my recommendation as far as sleeping and eating habits in babies is pretty much anything goes the first 2 months of life. If your baby is gaining weight well, and after 2 months of age, and your pediatrician says, I see a good growth pattern here, I encourage parents to put their babies on a sleep and a feeding schedule. And here's why. First of all, babies need a rhythm to their day. Everybody needs a rhythm to their day. Their cortisol needs a little bit of regulation. They need regulation because of light and dark patterns. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. There are sleep cues to night. Rhythm is very important for our emotional and physical health. Babies need to be coerced into having a rhythm. And putting your baby on a feeding schedule helps that rhythm occur. Also, when you get your baby on a good feeding schedule, you'll notice their sleep will be better. I highly discourage parents from feeding their babies every hour because babies never learn to be fully satisfied. They never get hungry. They never get full. So if you force your baby to eat every 4 or 5 hours rather than every hour, you allow your baby to get hungry. Then you allow your baby to fill up with a healthy feed that's going to be bigger than if he eats every hour. And then you're going to allow your baby to feel the feeling of satisfaction of being full. And then he's going to sleep better. That's why I recommend a healthy feeding schedule in children, because it helps a healthy sleep pattern as well. The second reason I think it's important is because it helps you as mom and dad. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. If you are healthier and you are happier, you're going to parent better. And if you're breastfeeding your baby and you don't have to worry about breastfeeding every hour, and you know you're going to breastfeed every 4 to 5 hours, you're going to be happier. You're going to be able to leave and go off and do something and leave your baby with a grandparent or a babysitter, whatever. You're going to be a happier mom and you're going to be a better mom. So yes, I do advocate for putting babies on sleep schedules. Parents, I hope you're enjoying this Ask Dr. Meg episode. We need to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, my healthy-seeking friends, the days of not following through with resolutions are over, because the days of Sunbasket are just beginning, which means you're going to keep your resolution this year, because Sunbasket makes it easier than ever. And today, you can get $35 off your first order when you go to sunbasket.com/Meg. When you have healthy meals regularly delivered to your door with Sunbasket, it's easy to stay on track. I'm talking ingredients like organic produce, responsibly raised meats, sustainably sourced fish, organic pasture-raised eggs, and organic non-GMO tofu. Oh, and house-made sauces you can't find anywhere else. And it's all personalized. Sunbasket lets you mix and match from paleo, lean and clean, gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, Mediterranean, and more. Not to mention tons of variety with 18 recipes to choose from each week. Best of all, each delicious, easy recipe is ready in about 30 minutes. With Sunbasket, you have total flexibility. You can cancel anytime, skip anytime, and choose any meal plan you want. Go to sunbasket.com/Meg today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/Meg for $35 off. sunbasket.com/Meg. When it comes to bra shopping, it's about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bra sizes in AA through G and half cup sizes, Third Love. Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great. Did you know that most old school bra brands only carry 15 sizes? Well, Third Love has 60 sizes, including half cups. Never heard of half cup sizes? That's because no one else does it. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. To find the bra you've been waiting for, all you have to do is answer a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder quiz. It takes 60 seconds and you can do it all from the comfort of your home. So you'll never have that awkward fitting room experience again. Try a Third Love bra. It's so comfortable, you might forget you're wearing it. And if you don't agree, returns and exchanges are always easy and free. This year, make the change that will change the way you think about bras. Go to thirdlove.com/Meg now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Meg. thirdlove.com/Meg. My next question comes from Callista, and she writes, Dr. Meeker, I found my 6-year-old daughter naked with an 11-year-old girl. Both girls are Christian and they come from homeschooled families. We filter everything. We found the girls tickling each other. We discovered this happened at least one time before, about a year ago. We are devastated. We have another younger daughter too. We're now realizing they are both going to the bathroom together and locking the doors. They are not innocent. I am so angry at the world and myself. I don't know how to approach this in a healthy way. Please help me. We've always talked with our kids about privacy and not touching. I don't know what to do. Callista, dear friend, take a big, deep breath. I am so glad you wrote. There's a very important distinction here that you as a parent and every parent needs to understand, because we're living in such a confused culture. We hear about sexual abuse. We worry about our children being preyed upon and growing up with a distorted sense of sexual identity and confusion, gender confliction, that we can't distinguish what's normal sexual exploration and play with what is harmful. So let's unpack this a little bit. It is very normal for a 6, 7, 10, or 11-year-old girl or boy to want to explore their bodies. It is normal for them to want to approach sexual exploration in a playful, innocent way with a person of the same gender. This might be a cousin. This might be a sibling. This might be just a friend. That does not mean your daughter is a sexual predator. It does not mean that the other peer or cousin or sibling is a sexual predator. This is sexual curiosity. It is innocent. It is not sexualized. These are pre-pubertal children interacting with other pre-pubertal children. That's a very, very important distinction here. Your daughter does not see this the same way you do. You see tickling of the genitals of a 6-year-old to an 11-year-old, or 11-year-old to a 10-year-old, or 10-year-old to a 10-year-old as a sexual act. To the child, it is not. It is a curious activity that feels good, but it is not a sexual act. So that's where you need to take a big, deep breath. You approach your daughter and see shame. She does not see shame. So you need to peel that off of her. She does not see this incident the same way you do. If your 6-year-old was in the room being tickled by a 17-year-old, that's a very different story. Then your daughter is being sexually preyed upon. But that's not what's going on here. This is innocent childhood sexual exploration that is not sexual to her. You are seeing it as sexual. Here's what I recommend you do. First of all, don't overreact. You go to your daughter and you say, "Honey, I know that this feels good. And I know that you girls want to close the door and it's private. And I understand the reason that you feel that you wanted to do these things in private is, one, because when people touch certain parts of your body, your breasts or your genitals, it kind of feels good. And that's the way your body's supposed to be. But I need you to know something here. Where you cover your body, your breast area and your genitalia, is very private. And you don't want other people to touch it, even your friends, even your brother or your sister. It's really important that you keep that private, because that's a very special part of your body. That's why you wear a bathing suit when you go to the beach. Secondly, I understand that you're curious about other people's bodies, and this is all very normal, but it's really important for you to respect your friend's body and to not tickle her body in her private areas too. I know it feels embarrassing, and that's why you're doing it in private, but just know that it's really important not to touch another friend's bottom or her breasts. And it's really important that you not allow other people to touch your breast or your bottom, because as you get older and your body starts to change, it's going to feel very differently. And it's really important to put boundaries around your body. And then you leave it there. And then you say to your daughter, as you get older, you're going to start hearing things that kids are going to be talking about what happens to your body as you get older, or what it feels like when a boy touches you, or moms or dads do different things. So when you have questions, please come and talk to me, because I want to answer those questions for you. Very important for you to understand, this is not a sexual incident. This is not sexual abuse. Your daughter is not a predator and she's not being preyed upon. This is sexual because you're an adult and you see it that way. So I think that's really important for every parent to understand the very important distinction. I think I have time for another question. Dear Dr. Meeker, I so appreciate the advice and encouragement you offer in your books and your Facebook. Our daughter is almost two and starting to show signs of being interested in potty training. I thought I'd read out and see if there's any specific books or methods that you recommend. Thank you so much for taking my question. Dear potty training mom, here's my best advice. Keep it simple. Let your daughter take the lead. It's really important for children to take the lead in potty training. You will save yourself and your daughter so much frustration by waiting until she's ready. How do you know if she's ready? First of all, so I'm going to address this to all parents now. When your daughter or son goes off and hides in order to have a bowel movement in their diaper, you know they're getting ready to potty train because they are feeling the sensation, uh-oh, I need to go poop, and they run off and they hide and they poop in their diaper. This is not a sign of anything wrong with your child. This is perfectly normal. They're letting you know, I am feeling the sensation, I'm going to go hide, I need privacy, and privacy is a good thing. So that's a sign that your son or daughter is getting ready. You'll also notice that your son or daughter may come to you and say, Mommy, I have a wet diaper. Daddy, I have a wet diaper. Will you change my diaper? Then they know they don't like the sensation of having a wetness in their diaper. Third way you'll know if your daughter or son is ready is you go and you take off their diaper and you sit them on a potty and you say, here are a couple of books or here's a couple of things to play with. Why don't you sit on the potty and see if you can go tinkle? If your son or daughter can tinkle on demand, they're getting ready for potty training. So if you are finding that these things are happening, here's what I encourage you to do. Start on a weekend or start in the summer or start when you have some time to spend a little bit of time potty training. Keep their diaper off for the day and go set them on the potty about every hour. Have them go sit there, have them play. And if they tinkle, you can give them an M&M or two. Give them a reward. There's nothing wrong with that. Put them on the potty an hour later. Put them on the potty an hour later. The last thing you want to do, though, is put your son or daughter in underpants, take them out to the grocery store where you're going to be an hour or two doing errands, and then they wet their pants, and then you're frustrated, they're frustrated, they feel like they failed, you feel like you failed, and you put the diaper back on. So make sure you have the time to potty train. Put them on the potty once every hour, reward them if they can go. If they can't go and you're finding that there's a trend there that they can't seem to tinkle in the toilet, don't worry about it. They're not ready. Wait a month, try again. Potty training is really fun. It's really nice for you when it's over with. But remember, parents, most boys potty train closer to the age of 3 than 2. Girls in general tend to potty train sooner. This is totally normal, has nothing to do with health of your child. Dear Dr. Meeker, my son is very shy. He goes to kindergarten at a private parochial school. He does several extracurricular activities after school. He's nice and obedient and a very active kid. However, I worry about him because he's extremely shy. He shies away from teachers, people from outside our home, and other kids. He only has one friend, and his teacher told me the boy is not very good company for my son. I wonder if his only friend might be having an influence on him not wanting any more friends, or if it's his personality. Should I do something else to help him overcome being shy with everybody? Thanks so much. Angie, I want to encourage you in a couple of things. First of all, being shy is not a bad personality trait. I would encourage you to read the book Quiet. It's wonderful if you want insight in helping to understand that being a quiet, introverted, shy person is actually a good thing. It's not something that we want to parent out of our kids, if you will. I am an introvert, believe it or not. I, like many other people who are shy, lose energy when I'm around a lot of people. Extroverts gain energy by being around other people. And that's many times why shy people tend to go off by themselves, because it expends a lot of energy being around other people. So being shy in and of itself is not something that you want to discourage your son from being. That's really just kind of the way he is. If you find that your son doesn't have any friends, I would encourage you to help him find at least one or two friends that he can spend some one-on-one time. This takes work on your part. Encourage your son to have a friend over on the weekend. He doesn't have to do it a lot. And he doesn't need a whole lot of friends, just one or two that he enjoys their company, where he can invite over and play with, because he does need to develop some social skills. And it is important for him to have one or two friends that he trusts, that he enjoys, and that he can socialize with. As far as having a lot of friends in school, I really wouldn't worry about it, because shy kids tend not to collect a whole lot of friends. As far as what your teacher is saying, that the friend that he has may not be a positive influence on him, I would judge for yourself. I would encourage you to have this boy over to your house with your son on a weekend, and you watch them play. How does your son interact with him? How are they talking to each other? What kind of games are they playing? Are they laughing a lot together? Are they putting other people down? Are they exhibiting bullying kind of behavior? So it's really important for you to make that decision, not to allow the teacher to make that decision, because you may see something very different in their interaction and their friendship than the teacher does. Parents, I have really had a lot of fun doing this, and I hope that you can tell I really enjoy answering your questions. So please keep sending them in to me. You can email me your parenting questions to askmeg@megmeekermd.com. And your question just may get answered on a future episode of Parenting Great Kids. So until next time, parents, remember, great kids are raised, not born.
Hey, this is Bobby, producer of Meg Meeker's Parenting Great Kids podcast. We hope you've enjoyed listening to episode 46, Ask Dr. Meg. And thanks to you, Dr. Meg's parenting revolution has grown to over 1 million downloads. You can like Dr. Meeker on Facebook and follow her on Twitter and Instagram at MegMeekerMD. As a reminder, go to MegMeekerMD.com and sign up for her newsletter for giveaway opportunities and updates. And don't forget to share the podcast, write us a review, and click subscribe so you won't miss an episode.